I think that that song relates very much to the middle way, the path of the middle way, that is another part of the story of the Buddha's life that helps me so much, because don't we just so want to be pure, you know, and don't we just feel like if I could just renounce everything, I'd finally be able to sit still for half an hour and not be thinking, you know, and I'd finally have this practice together. And the Buddha went on such a long journey of trying to strip away everything physical and get down to the core of the spirit, and he found that was not the path, you know, and that in a way the harder path, but the true path, and I think it is a difficult path, is to be here in this time, in this place, in this world as it is, and to walk the walk of an average human being, as we all are with our jobs and our children and our whatever it is that our passions are, and to bring this practice into this everyday life, much harder than doing it on a mountaintop. Oh, wouldn't you love a mountaintop, you know, really? And it relates to actually to your comment about the song-chant dichotomy, because I was thinking that I've come to love the chanting. It has an other culture, other world feel to me that can be a refuge. It takes me away from my habitual, you know, FM radio, yada-da-da-da-da, whatever the music is I've been raised in, takes me to another place, that simple other culture chanting. And that's a refuge. And then the songs, what I'm more doing today, are bringing, as Thich Nhat Hanh mandated me to do, really, to bring the teaching into this form that is more familiar to my life and to us, and to bring it into the middle way, into the heart of our life and our culture, and see if we can find the Dharma in these daily moments of our lives. The other part of the Dharma that I'm very tuned into right now, because it was the theme of our family retreat last summer at Spirit Rock, is the Eightfold Path, which grows out of the Four Noble Truths, of the nature of life being having suffering woven into it, caused by our attachment to this formless form construct that we're in, and the great good news that there is a healing of this suffering. That is the understanding of impermanence and the letting go of expecting things to be any particular way for any particular length of time. And I think election seasons are a great time to focus on this. You know, that we can put right effort and wise intention into the heart of the matter, but we can also practice the art of letting go of attachment. Yes, I know. I'm not saying that we're good at it. I'm saying it's a great intention to have. So I wanted to just offer you, and this is really going to push the envelope here, but when you work with children, I do a lot, you really have to find ways to make it fun and to make it very user-friendly. So I wove the Eightfold Path into a song that we'll all enjoy together. And the Eightfold Path, you know, is the eight practices of wise speech, wise action, wise livelihood, wise mindfulness, understanding, intention, and they are subdivide into three basic units, which are in Pali, sila, samadhi, and panya. Sila is the action part. It's the good, the loving kindness, the speech, the not stealing, the not drugging. It's those things. That's sila and livelihood, earning our money in as wise a way as possible. Samadhi is the practice of concentration and meditation, where we refine and attune our awareness. And panya is the wisdom and understanding that arises out of that mindfulness and concentration. So trying to explain this to children was tricky. So I came up with an idea, and it goes like this. And it's called If I Only Had Samadhi. And you can sing this with me, or you can just sit back and enjoy it. There's a way to live with others, parents, sisters, brothers, and every gal and fella. There are five tools to guide me. I can find them deep inside me if I only practice sila. In honesty, I'm rooted, my body unpolluted. I'll never harm or kill a. I won't take what is given. It's the key to happy living if I only practice sila. And promises I make to people on my way.
promises that I refuse to break. And I feel great, and so do they. If everyone agreed to be living like we need to, we could even tame Godzilla. There'll be peace and protection, lots of friends and good connection if we only practice Silla. And we go on to meditation practice. I could set my old alarma to sit and study Dharma inhabiting my body. I'd be free from distraction and my constant need for action if I only had samadhi. I'd be free from all that thinking, just sit there without blinking, but not be vain or haughty. I could focus on the present, though it isn't always pleasant, if I only had samadhi. Imagine how I'd feel without my monkey mind. Imagine all the bliss that I could find. I'd be awake, except for my behind. Oh, the joys of contemplation and mindful concentration are never wrong or naughty. It's a path to mental freedom. There'd be nothing else I'm needing if I only had samadhi. There is so much that's confusion and so much that's illusion. It's hard to understand ya. But I know I'll be clearer and my mind will be a mirror if I only practice panya. I will penetrate the mysteries. I won't get lost in histories or dwell upon manana. I'll absorb all the teachings. Oh, enlightenment I'm reaching if I only practice panya. Imagine my surprise to open up my eyes, to see the simple truth and not the lies. Oh, what a joy to be so wise. You can look the whole world over, from Bangladesh to Boulder, from Frisco to Havana. But it's all deep inside you. Your own wisdom will delight you if you only practice panya.
That is sort of a clap one, isn't it? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well, I hope I haven't completely blown your sort of Buddhist ideas. But I do enjoy the light touch. And, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh was my first teacher, and he really has a very light touch, you know. It's very unpretentious. And as a Westerner exploring what seemed like a foreign practice, you know that feeling of thinking you've got to get it just right, and, oh, I've got to have the right shawl, and am I sitting right, and am I bowing right? And it's just, oh, that tension around sort of trying to put on the cloak of another practice, a different practice. And I just invite us all to remember that this is to be a very comfortable practice. You know, this is not to strain and stretch to be something other than we are. It's quite the opposite. It's to just open up some space to remember who we are and to inhabit who we are in a joyful way, in a relaxed way, not trying, not checking our neighbor next to us to see if I'm sitting as straight as her, or whatever, you know. And, you know, so... And I also find that this kind of a song and some of these more humorous songs actually, and the catchy tunes can stay with you, and it really helps to remember the practice, to have a little song to take me back. I know that I Have Arrived, I Am Home. I sing that a lot, just when I'm driving and I'm really tense, or when my son is driving me nuts and I'm about to blow, you know, and it's just so good to have a song to come back to. So, oh, well, moving right along, I want to move to Sangha, and also to actually, I want to offer you a quick reading, and this relates to very much to the season that we're in right now. One of the great, wonderful teachings, too, is the concept of don't know. That we don't know what's supposed to happen on November 2nd. We don't know what the next 4 years are going to bring, regardless of who's elected. We don't know what's going on right now. You know, we know what the Gallup polls tell us, and that's just such a teeny tiny piece of what's really going on, you know. And when our children ask us, when my son asks me, what's going to happen, you know, if so-and-so gets elected or so-and-so gets elected, I could print out a great scenario of all the good things or all the horrible things. But I truly don't know. You know, there's so much we don't know. And in the midst of not knowing, what's so lovely about that concept is that it frees us to act on the basis of the precepts, on the basis of the Eightfold Path, on the basis of what we do know. Because these are timeless teachings that are true in any season, in any country, in any time. And we can bring all of that wisdom to this present moment. And I wanted to just read you something from a great human being, writer, activist, spiritual person by the name of Starhawk. And it's about fear, which is, I think, one of our great problems and issues and feelings right now. She says, fear limits our vision and our ability to take in information, makes the power holders seem omnipotent, and leads to our suppressing ourselves. The counterspell for fear is courage, facing the possibility of the worst and then going ahead with what you know is right. The counterspell for despair is action in service of a vision. The counterspell for paralysis is stubborn, persistent passion. Even if we're wrong, if nothing we do does make a difference, courage and passion are a better place to be than hopelessness, cynicism, and fear. If we see our dreams ripped out of our hands, that's better than never daring to dream at all. And if we tell our own stories with enough intensity and focus, we'll start to believe them, and so will others. We'll break the spells that bind us. We'll start to want that other world we say is possible with such intensity that nothing can stop us or deny us. All it takes is our willingness to act from vision, not from fear, to risk hoping, to dare to act for what we love. We've got all the time in the world. All the time in the world. We may be going to hell in a handbasket. Right on the edge is something fantastic. Since we don't know what time it is, we've got all the time in the world. That's going to come around again, and it's on your song sheet, so sing it with me next time. Grass can only grow so fast. Clouds have to wait on the wind. Dark cocoons can only burst when the butterfly spreads its wings. And hearts and minds need time for their wisdom to unfurl, for the winds of inspiration to carry us into a brand new world. We've got all the time in the world, all the time in the world. We may be going to hell in a handbasket, or right on the edge. Just something fantastic. Since we don't know what time it is, we've got all the time in the world. It may be early, it may be too late, or we may be right on time. We may be at a point in evolution where there's a quantum shift of heart and mind. It may be a long, slow dying, or a miracle of birth, but whatever time we're living in, we've got all the time on earth. We've got all the time in the world, all the time in the world. We may be going to hell in a handbasket, or right on the edge of something fantastic, since we don't know what time it is. We've got all the time in the world, all the time in the world. Donnie.
Yesterday I attended services for Yom Kippur, and the rabbi started her sermon by asking, "What time is it?" And of course, people started to look at their watches, and then she said, "It's Yom Kippur. It's the holiest day of the year in the Jewish religion." And then she said that really every day, her sermon was about making every day the exact time that it is and to be totally present. And I think this song kind of brought that memory back to me about how it's important to believe that this moment is all the time that we have and it's all the time in the world.
So it's about 10 of, and I've probably got another 10 minutes to go here. So if people really need to leave, please don't feel bound to, you know, you're not captive here. It's fine to get up and go. And so glad if those of you can stay, will stay. I'm so happy to be sharing this with you. Thank you. Sangha. You know, the famous, wonderful story of Ananda, the great disciple and questioner of the Buddha, who asked the Buddha, how important is spiritual friendship and community in the practice? Is it half of the whole importance? How much is it, Buddha? And Buddha said, oh no, it is not half of the practice. It is the whole of it. It is the most important thing. And it is so true. You know, Buddhism often seems like a solitary path, this sitting alone on a cushion and going inside and shutting down our senses. It's a very internal practice. And yet, nothing can be done separate from community. It really can't. And we strengthen and support each other. We inspire each other. We irritate each other. We do all those things that humans bring to each other to strengthen our practice, to agitate us into a deeper practice, and to just create a room where we can be together. This is a miracle that this room is here and that you're all here together. This was just a twinkle in someone's eye 10 years ago or however long. How long have you been here?
Two, 3 years.
2-3 years, not very long. What a thriving, blooming is happening. With the children, we're going to plant seeds and talk about the miracle of seeds growing into who knows what. You know, we look at a seed, you can't tell what it's going to grow into. And the seed of this Sangha is growing into who knows what. So, a Sangha song. This is a song I actually wrote for a conference for in the early years of the AIDS pandemic, when caregiving was, tremendous demands were being put upon medical and family people, and we hadn't caught up yet with how grueling it was going to be. So a wonderful minister, I believe he was a priest actually, put together a conference for care sharers, care partners, to really look at renewal and self-care. And he asked me to sing at it. And so I wrote this song for that occasion, but it has a much wider application. And it really speaks to the need to come into a circle where we are held in our wholeness and in our brokenness. The brokenness is our wholeness. And if we can be real together, and not be pretentious about our practice, but just be real about the humanness of our life. We can be whole together in this circle.
Welcome to the circle. How far have you come? It's It's a place where you belong. And do you have a burden that feels too much to bear? Do you have a bitterness you don't know how to share? Do you get too angry to breathe or laugh or pray? Well, there's no one in this circle who has never felt this way. No one in this who has never felt this way. So welcome to this circle, whatever brought you here, the valleys and the muddy and the clear. And know your work is worthy, and know your heart is true, and know that all you give away will come circling back to you. You've got to know that all you give away will come circling back to you.
The closing song of this Dharma opera is a dedication of merit song by Reverend Heng Shur, who is the abbot of the Berkeley Monastery. Before I do that, I just want to say a couple of practical things. I did bring some recordings with me, and they're out on a table there, so during the potluck, you're welcome to take a look. I've also brought some printed material that I think is very helpful having to do with the election. It may be information you already have, but it's in a form that's very easy to absorb, and you might have people you'd like to pass it on to, so I did bring some things along. Also, next Sunday, at Spirit Rock, October 3rd, is the 10th anniversary celebration of the Spirit Rock Family Program, with James Barras being the guest teacher, and myself and Heather and children and family. So please come. You don't have to have children to come. It's going to be a wonderful day. I will be with the children this afternoon. You're all invited to come and share the children's time. It'll be great fun. So, and thank you for your practice. Thank you for your deep listening and your openness to a very different Dharma form here. May it serve us all. So, this is on your song sheet, but I think it's easiest if I just sing it. It's not really easily learnable. It's more, I just wanted you to have the words to take home because they're so beautiful.
Share the the fruits of peace with hearts of goodness, luminous and bright.
I'm so glad you want to sing. Feel free.
If people hear and see how hands and hearts can find in giving unity, may their minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy. May kindness find reward. May all who sorrow leave their grief and pain. May this boundless light break the darkness of their endless night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise.